Hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on Between the Covers, author Otessa Moshe Fig talks about her critically acclaimed short story collection, Homesick for Another World. And at 11:30 today, we have Black Book Talk, featuring interviews and discussions of works by African-American authors. And all of this important programming because of the support of KBOO members. If you're not a member, please become one by going to kboo.fm. and clicking on Donate. Teresa Mitchell, Press Watch, next on KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of La Inaugurada La Primavera on April 21st and 22nd. Two nights of joy and justice in a multi-venue call to action in response to the immigration ban. On April 21st, La Inaugurada La Primavera features Alex and Allison Gray, Las Cafeteras, and Gran Ritmos at Navasquez, and Voice Workers' Rights Education Project at the Melody Ballroom. April 22nd at the Crystal Ballroom will feature Alex and Allison Gray, Daca Braca, Future Primitive, The Human Experience, and Orquesta Pacifico Tropical. Again, that's La Inaugurada La Primavera on April 21st and 22nd, two nights of joy and justice in a multi-venue call to action in response to the immigration ban. Venue addresses and more information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. I suppose most recently after Occupy, people might have gotten used to hearing about the police infiltrating and spying on people's movements. But the army has also been up to that. And you can hear more information about that. An interesting story coming out of Joint Base Lewis-McChord, just north of here in Washington State. You can hear about that on KBOO News tonight at 5. So be sure to tune in for that. I want to talk about climate change. It's one of those topics that I tend to put off. And for this week's show, I want to really focus on it. Quoting Medium.com's article, Demand Climate Justice, the World at 1 Degree Centigrade, which is a summary, they write, "This month has brought into better clarity the incomprehensible number of the scars we are carving into the planet." And speaking for myself, when they say we, I tend to think the corporations. But they write, the rates of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere are close to breaching the 410 parts per million threshold. The last time levels were this high was the Pliocene epoch, 3 million years ago. This matters because during the Pliocene, sea levels were between 15 to 25 meters higher than today. And speaking for myself again, since you're Americans, let's say that again. They were between 50 feet and 80 feet higher than today. The last atmospheric carbon dioxide was consistently above 400 parts per million was 16 million years ago during the Miocene, or about 25 million years ago during the early Oligocene, when the Earth was unrecognizable compared to anything Homo sapiens have ever experienced. The Arctic today has record low ice levels in late winter. It has about as much ice as it had midsummer 35 years ago. This is deeply worrying, as previous research has shown that Arctic ice melt could catalyze uncontrollable climate change. New research has lent further weight to the claim that global warming is going to alter the jet stream, making it weaker and more prolonged. The result of which is that weather patterns may persist for longer, driving extreme droughts, driving heat waves and storms. In fact, analysis shows that a human fingerprint can now be found over nearly all extreme weather events. Such rapid changes are exacting a profound psychic toll the world over. Iowan farmer Matthew Russell, whose family has tended to their lands for five generations, was quoted saying, "Psychologically, in the last few years, there's a lot of anxiety that I don't remember having 10 years ago. In the last 3 or 4 years, there's this tremendous anxiety around the weather because windows of time for quality crop growth are very narrow," end quote. And speaking for myself, what he's talking about is the fact that bad weather and heavy rains, for example, make it very difficult to plant the crops at the usual time. And other weather extremes are also affecting farmers' attempts to grow crops. Returning to the article, the World Meteorological Organization's State of the Climate Report for 2016 shows a planet heading into truly uncharted territory. That's quoting them, truly uncharted territory, defined by tumbling temperature records, heat waves, and glacial melting. Quoting Jeffrey Cargill, a glaciologist at the University of Arizona, he said, "Earth is a planet in upheaval. Due to human-caused changes in the atmosphere, in general, drastically changing conditions do not help civilization, which thrives on stability," end quote. And again, speaking for myself, this is why I'm bringing this to your attention. We are entering the Northern Hemisphere spring, and if you follow my show, you know that for many, many years, really, I've been focusing down on this since about 94, I've been concerned about just how fast global warming has been moving upon us. I've talked about the acceleration in the acceleration of the climate data showing a catastrophe on us. And frankly, we're in the midst of it. This is the year that we are really going to see some huge problems. And I would say that we need to cast blame. But we need to analyze what is actually happening. That's a more adult way of looking at it rather than casting blame. What's happening? Consumerism and its attendant industrialism has been thrust upon us with the most sophisticated mind control and psychological manipulation programs known to mankind. Advertising. We have become consumers. And I object to that. I object to being trained to be a consumer and to be a consumer among consumers and to be expected, for example, to zip all over town in an automobile or on a bus because we have created our cities so that we have placed a priority on the rich and on the conveniences for the rich and for institutions to make more money for the rich. And we have created a class of workers who are then shoved off to suburbs and exurbs. And we expect that we are going to use fossil fuels to rapidly commute all over town. And even to the extent that, as anyone knows who has a family and has to take a bus to get groceries, we are expected to have cars. And it is the corporations that have thrust that upon us, historically, specifically, provably. So this is corporate-induced global warming. And the Earth isn't warming because you forgot to wash a plastic fork. This is something that was created with political decisions that were put in place by powerful, rich, very aggressive people that we have encouraged politically through our system of relatively untrammeled capitalism. So returning to the article, ensuring that the stability that I was referring to earlier. They write, will be no easy feat. Scientists have come up with a daunting roadmap for meeting the Paris Agreement goals and achieving decarbonization by 2050. Global CO2 emissions will need to halve every decade. Net emissions from land use, agriculture, and forestry will have to dive to zero. Carbon dioxide removal technologies, those that suck carbon from the atmosphere, and speaking for myself, machines that don't yet exist, will need to scale up massively to the extent that they will have to pull 5 million tons of CO2 from the atmosphere. Double what soil and trees do already, and I assume by that they mean every year. We are nowhere near this level of action, they write. Instead, we're seeing the highest rates of CO2 growth on record. The human and non-human cost of all this is harrowing. Species in every ecosystem are being affected by increasing temperatures and shifting precipitation patterns. Marine animals are moving towards the poles at an average of 72 kilometers per decade. Once again, speaking for myself, this is the changing spring phenomenon, as it shows itself in the water. And the changing spring phenomenon as it shows itself on the land means that animals, including insects, are moving north. And I'll have more to say about that, if I have time, in a few minutes. This means disease. But returning to the article again, a new study has shown that India's dwindling groundwater is tied to variable monsoon precipitation linked to climate change. The result has been the worst drought in a century across southern India, where dozens of farmers have committed suicide following crop losses and financial difficulties in the wake of the drought, and communities have been forced to eat rats due to food shortages. Another new study shows our oceans warming 13% faster than previously thought. Large swaths of the Great Barrier Reef, the world's largest living organism, are now dead. Professor Terry Hughes, a specialist in coral reef studies, says, quote, we didn't expect to see this level of destruction to the Great Barrier Reef for another 30 years, end quote. Australian journalist Crispin Hall, a frequenter of the coral reefs in eastern Australia, recently the Great Reef, was looking through his bleached coral, looking through his diving mask, clouding his diving mask with tears as he looked at the bleached coral and was quoted saying, this is not a crime against humanity, this is a crime by humanity. We have sentenced to death the largest living structure on the planet, the Great Barrier Reef. This sentence is being carried out slowly and painfully before our eyes, end quote. To make matters even worse, the reef was further devastated by a powerful cyclone, which turned parts of the reef into an underwater wasteland. New data is sharpening scientific fears that the Middle East and North Africa risk becoming uninhabitable in a few decades as the availability of fresh water has fallen by two-thirds over the past 40 years. This research comes as evidence signals that nutrition and food security levels in the region have deteriorated sharply over the last 6 years. In Zimbabwe, floods have caused a spike in malaria cases. In Russia, scientists have identified 7,000 large gas bubbles across the Yamal and Gaidan peninsulas that are about to explode. More on that in a minute. The air emanating from these bubbles includes 20 times more carbon dioxide and 200 times more methane than nearby air. This phenomenon is being linked to climate change as permafrost across Siberia is rapidly melting, releasing a buildup of methane and greenhouse gases. In Brazil, 5 years after the country adopted a new forest code, deforestation is now 60% higher. The Amazon is facing a vicious cycle of drought and forest loss, with irreparable damage being wrought by deforestation in Paraguay's Chaco region. Yet the Brazilian government is continuing to hand it over to mining and agribusiness. Other governments make this suicidal ideology as well, maintain this suicidal ideology, with the Australian government changing native title law to make it easier for mining companies to secure access to land. In the U.S., Trump's effort to make America dirty again continues at full pace, even as the minimal climate change regulation introduced by Obama as part of his legacy are rapidly being rolled back. However, the Trump administration is not just content with attacking environmental law. It is also attacking the very basis of reality, scrubbing climate science itself from the public domain. Excuse me, from the public domain. Already, 8 major oil and gas projects are in the works in the United States. Much more to that article. But I've brought several articles together to try to make the point here that climate change is utterly out of control, and that we will be experiencing this this year, and we may experience this in the Northwest. So far, we've been very, very lucky. And we know that it has rained quite a bit. However, this rain is coming in part from the heating of the Pacific Ocean, something that was noted last year. We're continuing to be surprised by discoveries of climate change and what it means. I suspect, just speaking as an analyst and a commentator on this topic for decades, I strongly suspect that the severe floods in Peru and Chile and severe floods in Africa that occurred during the Southern Hemisphere winter will now come here. Southern Hemisphere summer, excuse me, will now come here during our summer, and that these hard rains may become very, very hard indeed, shockingly hard. We'll be lucky if we escape that, and that's not the worst that could happen, certainly under climate change. But I want to change to an article from the Siberian Times, and I urge you to pull up SiberianTimes.com because I want you to see the photographs taken from the air. This article referring to 7,000 underground gas bubbles poised to explode in the Arctic. And they're talking about in the Siberian Arctic. There are bulging bumps in the Yamal and Gaiden Peninsulas, believed to be caused by thawing permafrost releasing methane. They write, scientists have discovered as many as 7,000 gas-filled bubbles expected to explode in Arctic regions of Siberia. They found that after an exercise involving field expeditions and satellite surveillance. And that's reported from TASS. This article is, I suspect, largely machine translated from Russian, and it has some clumsy grammar in it, but you can certainly understand what they're trying to tell you. They write, a number of large craters have appeared on the landscape in northern Siberia in recent years, and they're being carefully studied by scientists who believe they were formed when pingos exploded. And let me explain what a pingo is. It's a gas bump under the earth, a gas-produced bump under the earth, and their geology can be fairly complex and includes water towards the bottom of them. And you may recall having seen surprising photos of a crater that opened up a couple of years ago in Siberia. It was a mystery crater. There was talk about whether this was being caused by methane, and that was poo-pooed in the press. I should say in the corporate-owned press. Well, they are caused by methane. These are methane explosions. This does relate to the possibility of the clathrate gun or the methane gun, the sudden, in geologic time, sudden and massive explosion of gigatons of methane into the atmosphere, which would greatly accelerate global warming and wipe out most life. Kind of hard to exaggerate that sort of thing. That's what we're talking about. So this is in the Siberian Times, SiberianTimes.com. I want you to look at it. The total of 7,000 craters reported by a TASS news agency is startlingly more than was previously known. The region has seen several recent examples of sudden craters or funnels formed from pingos after what scientists believe are eruptions caused by methane gas released by the thawing of permafrost, which is triggered by climate change. Quoting the scientist Titovsky, we need to know which bumps are dangerous and which are not. Scientists are working on detecting and structuring signs of potential threat, like the maximum height of a bump and the pressure that the Earth can withstand. He said work will continue all through 2017. There's more to that article. And as I said, I want you to look at it because I want you to look at those photographs, and you will see the bumps, and you'll see that there are smaller bumps on the bumps. What are the smaller bumps? They are large trees. These things are huge. And they are methane explosions. Let me turn to e360.yale.edu, Yale's Global Change Digest. They write, wildfires have consumed more than 2 million acres of U.S. land so far this year. That's right, we're just into spring, and 2 million acres have been consumed. They write, nearly 10 times the long-term average and a punishing start to this year's wildfire season, according to data from the National Interagency Fire Center. Massive grass-fed fires across Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, fueled by strong dry winds from the southwest, claimed the lives of 7 people and thousands of cattle earlier this month. While California was relieved of its worst drought conditions this winter, parts of the U.S. South and Midwest are still experiencing less than average rainfall. Oklahoma City, for example, has only gotten 1/100th inch of a rain, about as little as can possibly be detected this month, less than 1% of its average March precipitation. And that's from USA Today. From January 1st to March 17th of this year, some 2.1 million acres of U.S. land burned. That's according to NIFC data. Last year, at this time, only 289,000 acres had burned. For comparison, the 10-year January to March average is 217,000 acres. And speaking for myself, I suspect it was far less before global warming started taking hold. As we now understand, it has been taking hold for decades, but was too subtle, and we did not have sufficient knowledge or instruments to detect it. The time is 19 minutes after the top of the hour. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. I'm talking about climate change, and I'm issuing a warning. Things have gone too far. My opinion as an analyst and a commentator who has followed this for decades is that we have crossed the threshold. We are now into extreme and accelerating global warming this year in the Northern Hemisphere, where the powerful reside. We will see extreme effects. That is my prediction. And as I've said, here in the Northwest, we were predicted to have a better time of it. It's easier for us here. But these things are happening across the globe. This article is from India. It's called thewire.in. And this author, Nagrav Adve, writes, "Half a planet away from the immediacy of politics that dominates our headlines, there's a crisis unfolding that can dog us for centuries in West Antarctica. A huge ice shelf called Larsen C has developed a rift 175 kilometers long and half a kilometer wide. And I'm going to guesstimate that's about 110 miles. A chunk of the shelf is poised to break off soon. When that happens, the chunk will be an iceberg over 5,000 square kilometers across and 350 meters high, 1,000 feet thick and as big as the state of Delaware, and we need to pay more attention because it could potentially gravely impact people in the near and long term." So speaking for myself, we're talking about an iceberg failure, ice shelf failure, that will now begin to affect us pretty much immediately. In 2017, ice shelves are extensions of ice sheets. They're fed by their glaciers and jut hundreds of kilometers out to sea, sprawled over 48,000 square kilometers. Larsen C is a little larger than Western Oregon. It is Antarctica's fourth largest ice shelf and an extension of the gigantic West Antarctic ice sheet. The rift in Larsen C has been growing in recent weeks by several kilometers at a time. The mammoth iceberg to be is currently attached to Larsen C by 20 kilometers of ice. It could break off entirely any time in the next few months, weakening the ice shelf further. This happened to its now extinct cousin, Larsen B, which you might have heard of. In 1995, a large chunk of Larsen B broke off, and it disintegrated spectacularly over a 35-day period in 2002. Temperatures in the Antarctic Peninsula, where Larsen C is located, have been rising at 4 to 6 times the global average. According to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change's fifth assessment report, global warming also traps warmer subsurface ocean waters, because of which climate change has caused a thinning of the Larsen C ice shelf. But Larsen C's disintegration will not occur next week, and a mental landscape increasingly dominated by mobile phones, tweets, and the ephemeral nature of breaking news. What's happening to Larsen C illustrates a key trait about global warming that will take some effort to get our heads around. Many of its slower effects unfold over long periods. After the chunk broke off Larsen B in 95, it kept getting smaller, eventually disintegrating only 7 years later. And speaking for myself, it affected local weather. Returning to the article, Adrian Luckman, a professor of glaciology at Swansea University, Wales, and project leader of the group studying Larsen C, wrote an email recently saying, and wrote the author of this article, "If the shelf continues to erode slowly after this calving event, as was the case with Larsen B, then it will be years until the remaining shelf is eroded far enough for a complete destabilization. The vast West Antarctic ice sheet is marine-based. Its base is below sea level. Its edges transform into floating ice shelves. So Larsen C's collapse will not by itself contribute to sea level rise, as it is already floating in water, but the glaciers that feed into Larsen C can contribute, because when an ice shelf gives way, these glaciers start to flow much faster into the sea. The collapse of Larsen B, which is unprecedented in the last 10,000 years, has resulted in a speeding up of the tributary glaciers by 300 to 800%. That's Larsen B. That's not good news, because Larsen C is 5 times as large as Larsen B was. The glaciers it holds back contain vastly more ice and has been reported could contribute to a sea level rise of 10 centimeters. And before you say, oh, 10 centimeters, consider this. Maybe somebody you know has a favorite beach place, or maybe they own a place on the beach. You're going to lose 30 feet of your beach. 30 feet. And all this is because of an accelerating rise that may have already begun. Per the IPCC, the average rate of ice loss from Antarctica has increased from 30 billion tons a year over 1992 to 2001 to 147 billion tons a year over 2002-2011. 20th century sea level rise was linear, increasing in fixed steps. Because its chief sources were ocean expansion due to warmer waters and glacial melting, it will happen now at an exponentially growing rate, because the main source will be the melting of the faster ice flows from gigantic ice sheets on Greenland and on Antarctica. What I'm trying to say is now things are changing to the point that they can be noticed. So what am I calling for? Why am I telling you this? Because it's depressing, isn't it? Well, don't let it depress you. I want action. We cannot take action as long as we are ruled by the petroleum industry, as frankly we are. We are ruled. Let's look at who's in power in the Trump administration. The finance industry and its attendant war industry and fossil fuel industry are ruling us. They are a tiny fraction of the population. I call for democracy. That's the most violent thing I have ever said. I call for democracy because our lives are threatened, and the lives of life as we know it on the planet is under threat now. 10 centimeters, they write, of average sea level rise from the collapse of Larsen C may not seem much until we put that figure in perspective. It's a little over half of all the sea level rise the world has already experienced since 1901. There's more on that article. As I said, it is by Nagrav Adve, and you can find it on thewire.in. Now let me turn to The Guardian. 5 tiny Pacific islands have already disappeared due to rising seas and erosion. This goes to my theme today. It's happening now. What are you going to do? 5 Pacific islands have disappeared, a discovery thought to be the first scientific confirmation of the impact of climate change on coastlines in the Pacific. According to Australian researchers, the submerged islands were part of the Solomon Islands, an archipelago that over the last 2 decades have seen annual sea levels rise as much as 10 millimeters. In research published in the May issue of the online journal Environmental Research Letters, the missing islands, ranging in size from 1 to 5 hectares, were not inhabited by humans, but 6 other islands had large swaths of land washed into the sea, and on 2 of those, entire villages were destroyed and people were forced to relocate. Turning to inthesetimes.org, CNN reported on March 25th that... I'm going to skip that article because I'm almost out of time. And I'll skip to... report from UPI.com Science. Yeah, I know, UPI. I look at them with a jaundiced eye, so to speak, and yet this article is real. Yellow fever, a viral disease transmitted by mosquitoes, is spreading through Brazil, infecting and killing both monkeys and humans. According to the latest reports from local scientists, several thousand monkeys, most of them howler monkeys, have been killed by the virus since the outbreak began in late 2016. Significant portions of the Brazilian rainforest are without a single howler monkey. Quoting Karen Strayer, an anthropologist at the University of Wisconsin, it was just silence, a sense of emptiness, end quote. It was like the energy was sucked out of the universe. Why are these howler monkeys important? Because the mosquito, I'm speaking for myself now, the mosquito that gave them the disease, Aedes aegypti, is in Texas, Florida, Louisiana, and California because of climate change. Climate change has brought Zika to Florida. Aedes aegypti does spread yellow fever. Yellow fever is a devastating disease, and you're probably not vaccinated for it. That's global warming that's happening now. You've been listening to Press Watch, coming out to you via our Eiffel Tower on the Hill, our red and white tower on the beautiful West Hills of Portland at 90.7 FM and other frequencies elsewhere in Cascadia. And stay tuned because Parafuckering is ready to come live into the studio. We are also going out to you via KBOO.FM. And in that manner to all the ships at sea.
KBOO Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Well, good morning. This is Fight the Empire. My name is Per Fogring. This is the 49 years ago, last Tuesday, Martin Luther King was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee.